Hey guys, this is Rhonda Pods About Books. I'm Rhonda, the one who pods about books. I know, it's not very creative. I'm trying. So if you know me at all, or if you have ever read or listened to any content that I've put out there in the land of the internet for public to consume, then you probably know that I am a huge fan of Jane Austen and her work. I stan. And I'm not really expecting to add anything really profound to the Jane Austen discourse that is so pervasive on the internet right now, but I just wanted to have some fun with this. So I decided that we needed to combine Jane Austen with Disney princesses because, honestly, I haven't seen that done anywhere before. Like, why has it taken so long? I mean, these are two of the biggest names or biggest, I guess, properties or franchises in pop culture right now, and they're just begging to meet. So I have taken it upon myself to introduce them. So before getting into specifics, there are a few broad similarities between the Ladies of Austen and the Ladies of Disney to consider. Both groups represent, like I said, huge pop culture franchises, or I don't know if Jane Austen is considered a franchise. It's the public domain, but, you know, it's kind of a cohesive fandom. And, you know, they're commonly viewed as paragons of femininity. Jane Austen wrote her heroines during an era that was very restrictive for women. While the Disney princesses have garnered, albeit warranted, criticisms for promoting those same restrictive and sexist ideals. However, both the novels of Jane Austen and the films of Disney, especially those in recent years, are some of the most prominent works in Western culture to feature female protagonists, and I think that's significant. Film adaptations of Austen's books tend to perform fairly well at the box office, while Disney princess movies are some of the highest grossing films of the past decade, proving wrong the common idea that female-led stories don't sell. They obviously do. So as I alluded to before, as a giant fan of Austen and a somewhat fan of some of Disney, I feel that it's my duty or privilege to point out all of the wonderful qualities in both of these bodies of work. And what better way to do this than by casting the Disney princesses as Jane Austen heroines? Because that's totally within the realm of possibility. So let's get to it. So first up, we have Elsa and Anna from Frozen as Eleanor and Marianne Dashwood from Sense and Sensibility. So besides the fact that they're sisters, the Arendelle ladies are a perfect fit to portray the Dashwood ladies for a lot of reasons. So let's start with Elsa as Eleanor. Both are very protective and nurturing toward their younger sisters, and both repress their emotions to protect those they love, causing them to be seen as cold and unfeeling when, in actuality, they actually have very great emotional depth. Meanwhile, Anna and Marianne are both seen as the more high-spirited and romantic sister, the more kind of free spirit, and they both fall in love with very handsome and charming guys who turn out to be total jerks before ending up with kind and steady gentlemen. And plus, if you listen to how similar all of their names are, Elsa, Eleanor, Anna, Marianne, I mean, that's that can't be a coincidence, right? That's okay. But moving on, next we have Cinderella from the titular film Cinderella, the titular role as Fanny Price from Mansfield Park. So these are both young women who were raised by emotionally manipulative or even abusive relatives, yet they still manage to retain their innate kindness and moral courage in the face of that adversity. And the similarities between Cinderella and Fanny Price, I think, are really too uncanny to be coincidence. So they both receive help from wise benefactors who appear in their lives at just the right times. So Fanny has her Uncle Bertram and Cinderella has her fairy godmother. And they then have their sparkling magical moment at a ball where they dance with their respective princes. And, you know, I almost have to wonder if Jane Austen was thinking of the fairy tale when she wrote Mansfield Park. You know, one of the most popular versions of the story, the Grimm's version, was actually published in 1812, which was just before or right around the time that Austen would have been writing Mansfield Park. So, I mean, it's possible, right? Maybe? I don't know. I'll just take my tinfoil hat off now. Okay, so next up we have Jasmine from Aladdin as Emma Woodhouse from Emma. And beyond the obvious here, they're both handsome, clever, and rich. Jasmine embodies Emma's most essential character traits. She is confident, she's independent and smart, she's quick-witted under pressure. And like Emma, she is a little bit of a daddy's girl. Both of them lost their mothers at young ages, and both of them express a personal opposition to marriage, but then of course they end up falling in love anyway. And they consequently, because of that original opposition, they also gain a little bit of experience in warding off unwanted suitors. So while Emma has lived her entire life in this tiny English country village, she's been isolated her whole life before the story begins, hasn't really explored the world very much. Jasmine is kind of in that same situation. She has just grown up in the palace her whole life, and it's when she finally is able to venture outside of the palace walls that her story really begins. And both of these young women are also a little bit snobby at the beginning, but by the end, they learned to accept and value people from all walks of life. Oh, that's so warm and fuzzy. Next one, Aurora from Sleeping Beauty as Anne Elliot from Persuasion. So this one might seem like a bit of a stretch, but just stick with me here. So for much of the story of Persuasion, Anne's fate is decided by those around her. You know, she has her father deciding things for her. She has her sisters deciding things for her and just kind of telling her where to go and what to do. She doesn't take significant action of her own volition, at least not that's significant to her own life, until close to the end of the novel. And similarly, Aurora is a character who is often just acted upon, but doesn't ever really act herself. And in fact, of all of the Disney princesses, she has the fewest speaking lines in her film, and she has the least amount of screen time. I want to say it's less than 50% of the film Aurora is on screen. But just as Aurora is awakened from her magical sleep with true love's kiss, it's love that awakens Anne out of her, I guess, metaphorical sleep and gives her the courage to have her own agency and take her fate into her own hands. So that one's a little more abstract. I understand if you're not on board with that comparison, but thanks for hearing me out. But next we have Rapunzel from Tangled as Catherine Morland from Northanger Abbey. And Catherine is my personal favorite, so I might wax a little poetical here. Just bear with me. But no one who had ever seen Rapunzel in her infancy would have supposed her born to be a heroine. Yet, just like Catherine, that's exactly what she becomes. Both sheltered young women spend their time wondering when their lives will begin, and then they jump at the chance for adventure when it comes along. Both are a bit charmingly naive, I would say, and apt to let their imaginations run away with them. And both of them also fall in love with men who have kind and generous hearts underneath all of their charm and swagger. So that one is maybe also a bit of a reach. I'm sticking with it though, because I like it. Okay, best for last, you guys. Belle from Beauty and the Beast as Elizabeth Bennet from Pride and Prejudice. So this one is so perfect, it almost hurts. So first of all, there's the fact that they're both everyone's favorite. I mean, just think about it for a second, guys. Like, don't even try to deny it. You know it's true. Both of them enjoy improving their minds through extensive reading, and both are beloved by, yet a little removed from, the people in their hometowns. They are, I would say, too clever for their own society. Both of them turn down proposals from ridiculous suitors. Both of them have close relationships with their fathers, and both refuse to conform to ideals of womanhood that are inconsistent with their own identities. So on top of all of that, both Belle and Elizabeth encounter men who are surly, arrogant, rude, and beastly on the outside. One of them is literally a beast, but who learn to be their true, kind-hearted selves, that true prince that's within. And plus, there is that description of Elizabeth's beautiful expression in her dark eyes, which fits Belle to a T. That's the last one I had. There are fewer Austen heroines than Disney princesses, so there were several princesses that I just had to leave out, even though I really, really wanted to include them. Mulan, Pocahontas, Ariel, Tiana. I love all of them. I really wanted to cast all of them as Austen heroines, but just didn't seem to fit as well as the princess that I ended up going with for the role. But maybe they would be good fits for minor characters or heroines in Austen's lesser known works. Or maybe, you know, you have an opinion that one of them should have been chosen for instead of, you know, whoever I picked for that role. So what do you think? Do you agree with me? Would you have picked differently than me? Go ahead and let me know. Head over to rondabloggsaboutbooks.com and you can send me a message or comment on the post over there. And just go ahead and let me know what you thought of this. Thanks for listening, guys, and sticking around for all of my unorthodox theories. I hope that you had fun and that this wasn't a waste of your time. Thank you for listening and happy reading.